Another one. Chichoke from Gabon. Shalom, Pastor, I greet you all in Jesus' name. Sir, I am grateful to God Almighty that my life has never remained the same since I met the Bright TV. May God bless you all. It was at the point that I was about to derail that the power of God hit me that fateful day. Please, my question is on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Where I worship with brethren here, twice every week we have a prayer meeting where the pastor asks us to pray for the Holy Ghost. But sir, with the setting there, I don't see anything happening. Most especially the women with attachments and their heads not even covered. So the truth is that I don't feel anything. Secondly, sir, one of the pastors said he does not preach prosperity because Brother Abraham said that prosperity will keep one away from God. But my Bible says that we should seek the kingdom of God and every other thing will be added unto us. Pastor, man must work now. Listen, church. William Branham did not come to give us another Bible. So stop quoting William Branham as if he came to give us another Bible. William Branham did not come to lay another foundation of the faith. He came to bring us back to the apostolic faith. Therefore, every quote you hear him, you want to quote him, bring it back to the scripture before you act on it. That is what he taught us. Listen. Praise God. Now remember something concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Take note of this, every one of you. The Holy Ghost is given to those for whose reason Christ went to the cross on Calvary. God knows his own that he came to earth here to redeem. Their names are written in the book of life. Hallelujah. There is no other way you appear, whether it's in your dressing, in whether any action, or even where you are worshipping, that will determine whether you will receive the Holy Ghost or not. What will determine whether you receive the Holy Ghost or not is if you believe. If you believe. Believe what? Believe what happened on the cross on Calvary. And you ask for the Holy Ghost. You ask for eternal life, having understood what happened on the cross on Calvary. God will give you the Holy Ghost. The problem is this. Where people claim they have the Holy Ghost, and we can judge you and say you have not received the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we know the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And we place you with what we know to be the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is determined by your knowledge also of the purpose of the Holy Ghost. When we know the purpose why God gives the Holy Ghost to a man, to a woman, and we see that purpose fulfilled in your life, then we shall say you have received the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost first and foremost comes to make a sinner to become a saint. It is the power of transformation that transforms a sinner to a saint. If you were a prostitute before, selling yourself up and down, the day you receive the Holy Ghost, that spirit will leave you. That test will leave you. That lifestyle will leave you. If you were a woman of fashion, it is what you have been indulging so much, that is the first thing God will deal with. It deals with you, and some of these things go gradually, but there are some that will take away, not you, praying, Lord, take it away. He will take it away in a way that you will know something has happened to me since the day I received that touch. So it is not because your hair is open in the church. That's why the Holy Ghost will not come to you. No, the Holy Ghost will come to you, and after that, He will teach you. For the Holy Ghost is a teacher. He will lead you to all truth. He begin to let you know what is acceptable before God and what He hates. You begin to drop them one after the other. Praise the Lord. You can receive the Holy Ghost in a Catholic church. You can receive the Holy Ghost under a woman pastor. You can even receive the Holy Ghost in the kitchen while you are cooking. While you are taking your bath in the bathroom, the Holy Ghost, you can receive the Holy Ghost. He chooses where to give you the Holy Ghost. It's not where or how you receive that matters. After that experience, the life that you live will determine whether you have received the Holy Ghost or another demon God possess you. God bless you. And for Brother Abraham saying that rich men will not enter into the kingdom of God. People read what William Branham says, and they fail to understand him. The same way the denominationals read the Bible. Jesus Christ told his disciples, go and preach the gospel to all creatures, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Peter was there. Philip and the rest, they were there. They now went to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. They went to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is not calling your attention that Jesus told them, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Those that he told went and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not one of them ever baptized that Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Would it make you think? Instead, they will tell you, am I going to follow Peter or follow Jesus? Now, the same way, followers of the ministry of William Branham do the same thing. They will hear him say something. But he is doing something contrary to what he said. Now, you should match the two and get understanding of what he is saying. Take for instance, I read it too. William Branham said that the tithe should not be used for any other thing, that the tithe of a church belongs to the minister, it belongs to the pastor. And all the intermediate churches that I know, the whole church, all the tithes, nobody knows even how much, only the pastor. As soon as I gather like this, all on a tithe, now my account will go enter. Some intermediate churches, pastors who come here and watch us, they say Brother Moses must be very rich because all the tithe belongs to the pastor. And I say, but this same William Branham that said it, his own church, they were giving him allowance. He was not collecting the tithe of the church he was pastoring. It means you should understand what he means. This same William Branham now said that rich men cannot enter the kingdom. It's not the only one that said it. The Bible also said it. Jesus himself said it. Praise the Lord. But William Branham, when he died, millions of dollars were in his account. Till death, none of his children has worked. Only the interest from the investment of the money he had, they are chopping the interest till today. So it means, what did he mean by that? And he cannot say it different from what Apostle Paul told Timothy, that the love of money is the love of money. Nothing more than that. God bless you. Better go and get money, or if you know how to get money, or you go to heaven like Lazarus, a poor man. I want to go like Abraham, both righteous and wealthy. Praise the Lord. God bless you. On the screen, Sister Sherry's Daniel from Kaduna State Nigeria. Shalom, Pastor Moses. Is it a sin when you forgive someone that deceived you and yet don't want to have anything to do with him? I was deceived into a relationship with a married man without knowing it. He asked for my forgiveness. And I told him that I have forgiven him. But he wants us to communicate as friends. But I don't want to. And don't pick his calls. Does it mean that I have not truly forgiven him? Sister, when you open your mouth to say you have forgiven him, let me quickly let you know what is forgiveness. To define forgiveness, I have said this here several times, but maybe you are hearing me for the first time. When you hurt somebody, he feels hurt. Every human being feels hurt. No matter what type of Holy Ghost you have, you must feel hurt. And it can be, you can be hurt emotionally and you can be hurt physically. And emotional injuries are more painful. And to recover from such injuries takes some time. Now, when you have hurt somebody and he is still nursing the pains, and while in that pain, he avoids you. He says, leave me alone. You don't say, it means he has not forgiven me. That is not forgiveness. It's still the effect of that hurt. It's still in the pain. Allow the person time to be healed. During the healing process, the keeping away from you is only a defense mechanism. God himself put it that way so that you won't come and hurt him and add pepper to the injury again. Please leave me alone. It is not unforgiveness. This is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is when you hold the person in your heart and wish that person evil because of what he has done to you. Or you begin to set traps to get back at the person. That is unforgiveness. Praise the Lord. To start with, he's a married man. What does he want to do with you? He's a devil. If he call you, call him devil. Bind him. Pour Holy Ghost fire on him. Report him to his wife. You have not sinned, and that is not unforgiveness. Drive him away out of your life. And if he continues to disturb your peace, take him to the police to leave you alone. God bless you. Thank you. Yes.
I want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity. And I want to say that your messages are causing uproar outside here.
Yeah.
Yes. We are the people that witnessed it. And I know this church since 2004 through a trust that says 1 year pastor.
1 year pastor.
A friend gave me the tracts, and when I read it finished, I say, the church that wrote these tracts know what they are doing. And by the grace of God, I attended the conference that 2004 at Assemblies of God Youth Camp. And then this church is not online. But this year, January, by the grace of God, I was carrying on my decoder, and I saw it bright. I was too happy.
Amen.
Because then I was telling my fiancé, then my wife now, that there is a church I would like you to hear from the pastor. So through the decoder now, she can hear you every day.
Clap your hands now. Thank you very much.
And it's a very serious issue. She called me every day asking me about this program because she's interested. So, Pastor, what do I want to ask is this. You thought about water baptism. And there is something that is disturbing me. Because most of us come from a religious background and some churches that believe in sprinkle. Now, we come out again and say, those, that one is not working, that we are going to do immersion. Now you are teaching again, is saying, some people have done that immersion, but they are doing it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, not in the name of Jesus. I was watching it. So my question is this. Like those people that did it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit then, and it happens they die without hearing the truth, what's supposed to be their faith? That's one. Now the second one goes from Matthew chapter 7 verse 6. And I want you to throw more light on that place. Because this business is, I mean, booming where I come from. I come from Jos anyway. I came from Jos. So that place is saying, don't give dog a holy thing. And I believe a man is holy. And now, some Christians are doing the business. I say, if I come here, I will ask, is it worthy or is it good for a Christian to do the business of dog? This is my two questions.
For a Christian to do business?
Of dog, selling dogs.
Dog?
Yes, sir.
Oh! He says, but why do you link it with Matthew 7 verses? Can we read what it says? Matthew chapter 7 verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. The meaning of that scripture is not about selling dog.
That is why I need clarification.
No. It's not trying to tell you, give you wisdom. That when you go with this precious gospel, don't go to where it will not be valued. Once you go and you notice somebody has made up their mind, they will not accept it. Don't bother yourself to go there. Go to people who are hungry for the truth. Go to people who are not just interested in religion. They are the ones you should give this precious gospel to. Praise God. Now, concerning dog. Now, anything, meat, na meat. Once it is consecrated with prayer, it is meat. And please, a dog is an animal and some people eat it. It is their own protein. There is nothing under grace that is against it. Nothing wrong with keeping dogs. But in fact, don't let Calabama hear you. Because it is their delicacy. There are sections of my tribe, they eat dogs. There's nothing wrong with it. Continue your business. God bless you.
The first question, sir.
Yes?
The first question.
What's the first question?
I said, like those of us that come from the background of...
Okay. Yes. What is the faith of those who baptize wrongly?
Yes, sir.
And are dead or alive? What?
Dead.
They are dead?
Yes, sir.
I am not talking about the dead. I'm talking about the living. My gospel is to the living. And I'm not here to judge you. I'm only here to tell you this is the truth. But when you have heard the truth and you turn it down, the Bible says there's no more. You don't have any other opportunity. What else do you want to hear? You will be judged by what you were told. If you didn't know, God has a standard for everyone. But for you who hear it now, and you refuse to correct it, your own judgment is different. God bless you. Yes, please.
Sir, I'm very, very happy today. My name is Namso Achibong from Akwa Ibom. I have been watching. It's my brother that introduced me to this bride assembly.
Amen.
So I've been watching it. I'm the most happiest person today because since the day I knew you from television, I've been watching you. I promised myself that one day, if I get to Lagos, that I will see you personal.
See me here.
So I'm thanking God.
Come and hug me. Come and hug me. Yes, what's your question?
So, sir, my question goes like this. It was on Wednesday when I came. So my sister was sitting this way. So I told her where I'm staying. So along the line, there was a book. I asked her, for instance, if they needed that book, she would come and collect. So there was in need of that book. She came to collect the book. He said that the ushers did not allow her to come where the men are sitting. So yesterday again, I wanted to go there and give her key. When he was saying that where is the key that they was demanded. So when I want to go and give her the key, the usher said, he was even pushing me, say, why are you going here? Why are you going here? So my question goes like this. Is it a sin for men to go where women are sitting in the church?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen very well. It is not sin. Listen very well. This is a public place. And with the situation in the country now, every public gathering is security conscious. There must be orderliness. If you want anything, we have the ushers, the coordinators. They are all around to help you. The sisters are sitting one side. The brothers are sitting one side. It's not a doctrine, it's a local church order. Any church that men and women sit together, they have not committed sin. We here, we have a reason why we put men one side and women one side. And if I may tell you one of the reasons, when this ministry started, we were all sitting together until we noticed something. That when anointing comes down, you find a woman will fall in the laps of a man. Or the man will carry his head and rest on the chest of a woman. Under anointing. Praise the Lord. Secondly, there are three reasons. The second reason was that when we started, we were sitting on benches, not chairs like this. So when a woman sits in front and a man is sitting behind on his bench, his knees will be touching her bum bum. I think the woman will be uncomfortable. And if you really meet a carnal demonized man, he can come and really use those legs very well at the back. Praise the Lord. And the third reason is that we want people to be free when they are in this atmosphere. And I know that as some men or women, some people are naturally very shy. They will not loosen up just sitting down next to a woman they don't know. Or a woman sitting next to a man he doesn't know. you will not open up. You will not be free. And we want people to have freedom. So we decided to separate the women from the men. That's the reason. Now listen. Praise the Lord. So when you need anything from anybody, what you are supposed to do is just tell the coordinator, please, my sister is in so-so-so place. I want to collect so-so-so thing. He will follow you. He will take you there. God bless you.
Shalom, church.
Thank you.
My question is in Mark 16:15.
Yes.
Where Jesus Christ said, you should go on to the whole nations and preach the gospel.
Yes.
And my Bible tells me in Ephesians 4:11 that the Holy Spirit gave some apostles, some pastors, some evangelists, some prophets, and some teachers. But I'm confused where I got across the teaching. We said the whole church members should go out for evangelism.
Praise God. The commission given in where you quoted, Mark 16 verse 15, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Every Christian is supposed to shine the light. We are the light of the world. What do you mean by light? The life that you live, that which you have, that brought you out of darkness, you are supposed to shine it anywhere you are. The life that you live preaches the gospel. And what you share with people around you, your place of work, within your family, your school, if you're a student, anywhere you are, there's something about you that you should share with people around. Now, every believer, if you have received any good thing, you want to share with people around. That is witnessing, man or woman. But when it comes to leadership of the church, he ordained 5 offices for it. And none of those offices is for woman, because it's a position of authority. I don't know what confuses you there, if you have heard me before.
What confuses me there, those that are to witness, are they to go like from street to street, house to house?
No, your environment now, wherever you find yourself, say something about Christ, but you won't go and be ordained as an evangelist and being a woman, go and conduct crusades. Leave your wife, your husband, and your children at home and jump in from town to town. Say, God, call me. No, it's not for woman. The woman's ministry does not go to that level. God bless you.
My second question is in Leviticus 19 verse 26.
Yes.
I don't understand the hair carving there.
Read it. 1927, sorry. Leviticus 19:27. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall thou mar the corners of their beards. Is it the English you don't understand or... You see people go and put decoration on their heads. All those kind of decoration. And then when you have your beards, there's a way they carry razor blade and then begin to make design. In the Old Testament, God did not want his children to appear like that. God bless you. Can we clap our hands for our God? Suddenly, a strange signs and wonders began to take place of recent in the church. We have seen churches now with unusual anointing, gathering crowd and calling so much attention from all over the world. Unusual anointing, signs and wonders. This is the time now I understand the true meaning of sign and wonder. It is a sign and wonder that you can stand like this whether you are in the spirit or not, if I say take it, you will fall down. It's a wonder. It's a sign and wonder that in doing deliverance, I don't even open my mouth to talk to the spirit. I just look at you and you will fall down. I just kick my leg and you are down. Without me even saying, talking to the demon, no, I just look at you and do like this and you will follow me. It's a wonder. It's a sign. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we decided to study this anointing very well. That is the difference between is it Nathaniel? Who found the other? Is it Nathaniel that found Philip, or Philip found Nathaniel? Philip found Nathaniel. Come and see what is happening. Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? There must have been something he was studying. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And many of us decided to study this unusual anointing. It's attracting crowds. And these are some of the questions that many of us have asked. This anointing that is falling people down. After they gather power, deliverance, taking place. The question we ask is, what is the message? What is the message? Because we saw one sign and wonder in the Bible. Moses was sent to go and do deliverance. Go to Pharaoh. Tell him, let my people. That was the message. Church, somebody shout the message. Don't come now. Say very loud. Hallelujah. Our brother quoted the scripture now. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Every one of us, what are we supposed to go and do? Preach the gospel. The gospel is the message. Go and say something. Say what? Say something that will make the people be reconciled to their God. Because Apostle Paul said, there is one ministry that has been committed into our hands. What is the ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation. Go and tell Pharaoh. And Moses told God, if I go, they will ask me, God sent you, and what is the sign that God sent you? What is the sign that God sent you? God will say, okay, let me give you a sign. Hallelujah. What did they hold for hand? You are holding a rod. Stick, where you take? They drive your father-in-law's ship. He said, throw it down. He threw it down. The thing turned to snake. Praise God. What I'm saying is in the Bible, though. How many people know it is in the Bible? Thank you. I think that's Exodus chapter 4. He said, he turned to snake. The man went run. God said, hey, pick it again. He picked it. He turned to stick again. Wow. Is that not a sign? Is that not a wonder? He told him again, put your hand in your bosom. He put her inside. Bring it out. The hand became leprous. Can you see? He said, okay, put it back again. He put it inside.
Bring it out.
He brought it out. The hand was restored. Is that not a wonder? Is that not a sign? Then he said, if they will not believe the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the second sign. Listen, church. What is the emphasis? Is it the voice or the sign? Eh? What is the ministry? The voice or the sign? The voice is the ministry. God called me. God called me. Moses, did God call you? Yes. What did God call you to do? God called me to do signs and wonders. Is that what God called Moses for? And it came beautiful. Peter and John saw a man there that was crippled. And he said, silver and gold have I known, but such as I, in the name of Jesus. Watch it. It was a sign that attracted an attention. When everybody came, watch the sermon that was preached after that. Watch the sermon that was preached after that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now see where you people get confused all over the world. Before Moses reached the Pharaoh's palace, there were magicians there. The same sign that Moses had, the magicians did it also. But those magicians had no message. Oh! Anybody that is performing any sign or wonder and there is no message of salvation behind it, you are a magician. You are a magician. You are a magician. You are a magician. We are traveling on the right road. Can we stand up?
We are traveling on the right road.
Oh,
there is one way to the city of God.
Oh,
we are traveling on the right road.
Listen, church. Listen, church. Hallelujah. You come. If you say you have a message and you are preaching a message, we will ask you, where do you get that message from? You say God call you. We will still ask you, you plus you and your message, where is the sign? Where is the sign? Praise the Lord. I know to many of you that there is a group of people in the world today known as motivational speakers. The difference between them and the preachers of the gospel is Apostle Paul said, I did not come with the enticing words of the wisdom of man, but with the demonstration of the Spirit, I am power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot be a preacher without a sign following. Today, your sign will be the deliverance of your family. I say your sign will be the deliverance of your family. This sign shall follow them that believe. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says the elect cannot be deceived. Because we have the Bible to judge anything that is going on. Praise the Lord. By this, you will know out there, there are two groups that are out there that claim to be prophets. The first one are the magicians. And the second one are Babalawos that change their signboard to prophets and church. How do we know? Go and see them. Go and meet them. And you see the way they will minister to you. Because they are making money-making ventures. Therefore, their emphasis, they are the ones that sell anything called anointing. They sell anointing water. anointing oil, handkerchief, and to tell you where they come from. Small bottle of water that is not up to 5 naira, they sell it 5,000 naira. Anointing. They sell anointing. The servants of Jesus Christ, we were given a commission. Freely we receive, freely we give up. Anybody that sells anything called anointing, you are not a servant of Jesus Christ. You are not. We know you that. We know you. We know you that. No matter what testimonies are going on there, testimony is gone in Babalawo places. Even the people will not go there. When they give you invocation, incantation, you do it, something will happen. Praise the Lord. I am not speaking to everybody. I'm speaking to the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I am speaking to the bride of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. When you come to this ministry, if you are looking for a church to attend, we have crossed from church to Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not calling you to come and be our church member. I'm telling you now to be a Christian. Everybody cannot gather here. Everybody cannot gather here. And you are not going to judge by the church that you attend. You are going to be judged by the platform you stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.